Today we're going to talk about building your kindness muscle. And I'll start with a quote from Sylvia Bornstein. She says, "It's really unfortunate that the mind often responds unwisely when dealing with our nearest and dearest. But it does make sense. There are various reasons why. First, fear arises with our significant other because we are afraid of not getting what we want. Anger arises as well because the other person is perceived as the enemy who's not giving us what we want. Then greed arises in the form of needing to be comforted by the person we depend on to be our lifelong companion, except that this person is now also the perceived enemy. True love doesn't foster clinging. If we truly love someone, we're not going to foster clinging to them to get what we need. In order to truly love someone, you need to feel complete in yourself. So love is not looking for someone to complete you. Thich Nhat Hanh says, true love is like the sun, shining with its own light and offering that light to everyone. And that's what we do when we build up our kindness muscle. It allows us to feel true love. So why would we bother working with kindness and doing kindness as a practice? Well, research has shown that those with the strongest kindness practice get through life's ups and downs much better than the rest. Our mood set points can be altered. Our happiness set point, while it's set, it can be altered. People who practice kindness or compassion as a regular practice become happier over time. Kindness practice counteracts the loneliness and the sense of separation that comes from not feeling connected to other people. We can change how we respond to difficult situations over time by doing this kindness practice. We can learn to turn down the volume on the internal snide monologue of self-judgment and be kinder to ourselves. After all, if we're not going to be kind to ourselves, who will? So kindness is a skill that we can all develop. It starts with how you pay attention. Kindness practice aims to increase feelings of caring and warmth for ourselves and our others. We increase feelings of caring by mentally sending goodwill, kindness, and warmth toward ourselves and to others by silently repeating a series of phrases. And sometimes when we begin this kindness practice, we don't really feel those feelings deep inside. So we just express an intention to have those feelings, because intentions are very powerful. It's planting the seeds of the loving wishes in our hearts. These loving wishes are different than positive affirmations. Positive affirmations are like, I refuse to give up. I am adventurous. I don't sweat the small stuff. It's things that have a goal that you have to strive toward. What we're doing in loving kindness, we don't want to be striving. It's not a goal that we have to get there. It's a feeling that we're trying to generate in ourselves. And once we generate that feeling in ourselves, we can touch into that loving feeling anytime we need it. So kindness phrases are wishes for something that's universally desirable for all beings, such as, may I be filled with kindness. May I feel connected and calm. May I accept myself just as I am. May I know the natural joy of being alive. There's lots of different phrases that can be used, and I will put a link out on my website and email it to you of all the different loving kindness phrases that I have compiled. There's plenty more, and you're more than welcome to make up your own, as a matter of fact, encouraged. So kindness meditation can help us to develop a selfless love. not a love that's needy and clinging and needing our loved one to do something for us, but a selfless love that we're sharing our love for them just because we can. It does so by developing the quality of loving acceptance. Many of us don't have that quality of loving acceptance for ourselves. So kindness meditation kind of acts like a self-psychotherapy, a way of releasing our troubled mind from its pain and its confusion. And it has the immediate benefit of sweetening and changing old habituated negative patterns of mind. So instead of saying, "Gloria, you stupid idiot, you did it again," my kindness would say, "Gloria, that really bums you out that that happened. And next time, you'll try harder so it doesn't. And I'll give myself a little compassion and love rather than hitting myself over the head with a baseball bat as I normally would." So when we do kindness for ourselves, we develop a calm mind, a mind that's free from anger and greed and generosity of I need because I don't have the love and I'm looking for it out there, instead of looking for it inside where it already exists. So only in a fertile ground of a peaceful mind can mindless kindness flower. If our mind isn't peaceful, we can't be kind. Note when you're agitated how you treat other people. Not very kind. As long as we calm our mind, even if we don't feel the loving, the practice is going to work anyway. I didn't feel the loving for myself when I started this practice, but doing it again and again, I have finally been able to feel the love for myself and the love for others more strongly. So you just keep doing it, staying with the intention and repeating the phrases and making that connection with yourself, because it inevitably will work, but it takes persistence. We set the intention to be better friends to ourselves and to others by realizing that everyone wants to be happy and free of suffering. There's no one in this world who doesn't want that, regardless of what they may act like. So as we practice, we bring to mind different people or groups of people, and we send them friendly wishes by repeating the different phrases. And traditionally, the phrases come from four categories. They come from wishing people to be safe and protected, to be physically healthy, to be mentally happy, and to have an ease of well-being. And as you say the phrases, you're connecting with the felt sense of goodwill that you're sending. So you're really trying to dig down into your heart and really feeling the goodwill. The feeling is more important than the words. Matter of fact, a friend of mine who's been practicing loving kindness for years doesn't need to use words anymore. She just has the feeling. So you'll have to experiment to find the best words that are going to open your heart to kindness, because what opens my heart may not open your heart or may not feel authentic for you. So you might have to adapt the phrases. Sometimes I send wishes that really are more of compassion or equanimity than kindness, because that's what works for me at that time. And on the list that I'll send you, you'll see there are some that are related to that as well. I pull them all together. But whatever it is that I need to open my heart is what I use as the phrases while I'm doing kindness meditation. And it might change from one time to the next. Kindness is not a one and done. You have to say the phrases over and over and over to really let the feelings permeate your body and your mind. So practicing this meditation maybe weekly for a number of weeks is going to be important until your sense of kindness and loving in yourself grows. It takes time. You've got to do it over and over. And your inner critic is probably going to say, "Why are you wasting time on this? This is stupid." Or your inner critic might say, "You don't deserve to be loved. We all tell ourselves that, but we all do deserve to be loved. And we all have that love inside of us already. We've just got it covered up. And this practice helps us to uncover it. So we often have trouble feeling love for ourselves. And that's why in the practice we start with a benefactor. A benefactor is a person, an animal, a place, a scene, a memory, a divine being, something that allows us to feel that feeling of unconditional love. So if it's a person and it comes to mind and you say, well, yes, this person loves me, and then you start thinking of difficulties you've had with them, you may want to change the person, or you may want to focus in on one time when that person did make you feel unconditional love. Because that's really what we're trying to get at, is that feeling of unconditional love. I don't have to do anything to be loved. I just feel loved. That's what we're trying to build up within ourselves. So you might not use your spouse because life gets in the way and complicates things. And if things are, the complications are going to keep coming to mind, you're not going to build your kindness muscle. So a lot of people will use a pet, because with a pet, you feel unconditional love. It might be just looking at a sunset makes you feel that content feeling that everything is right with the world. And that's perfectly fine to use that. It doesn't make any difference what you use. It's the feeling you're generating inside your body with this benefactor that you want to use. The benefactor is there to help wake up the feelings of love or our innate goodness in ourselves that are hidden under all the layers of defenses we've piled on over the years. The defenses might keep us from feeling the love, and that is why we simply set the intention that I want to develop this loving feeling, feel this innate goodness inside of me for myself, and I want to send these well wishes to others. And we just set the intention and then practice and practice until finally we do penetrate our defenses. And sometimes it takes a long time, depending on how thick your defenses are. Once we've developed a loving feeling, we can turn our attention to sending the kindness to ourselves. Once you have that feeling of kindness, of unconditional love, and it might feel mechanical when you're sending it to yourself. It might feel awkward, and it will feel that way until you've penetrated your defenses, and then it'll feel more natural. So be patient and kind to yourself. This is not the time to beat yourself up because you don't feel it. This is the time to offer yourself some compassion because you don't feel it. And to let yourself know that I'm going to work on this and I'm going to take care of it. And I'm going to take care of myself by doing this. So allow whatever arises to be received in a spirit of friendliness and kind affection. If a friend told you they were feeling that way, act to yourself as you would to your best friend or to a child. And if judgment, anger, or aversion towards yourself arise, because for some people that does happen, turn your attention back to your benefactor and just cultivate that feeling of innate goodness or unconditional love. And simply allow the feeling of love, no matter what your inner critic tells you that you don't deserve it, just allow that feeling to keep coming up. So at any point in the meditation, if you're not feeling loving, simply go back to the benefactor and allow the feeling of love to penetrate your body. Doesn't matter the words I'm saying, use your benefactor as needed, because we want to build this muscle, and we don't start building a muscle with 100-pound weights. Sometimes we need to start with 3-pound weights. So we'll send loving kindness to ourselves, and then we'll take a little time to, depending on how long it goes, we may or may not get to the rest of them, but I'm going to explain what they are. The next one is sending kindness to a neutral person. because we normally ignore the neutral person, the person who sold us our coffee at the coffee shop, someone we see at the health club but we don't know. We totally ignore them. And by building our kindness muscle, what we do is we start to see people and say, I'm going to send you well wishes. I'm going to wish you well. I'm not going to take care of you. I'm not going to do anything. But by doing that, we're building our kindness muscle. So it might be someone we see on the bus, someone at work, a clerk in a grocery store. The idea is to develop our feelings of kindness toward all beings. And once you practice this in a formal meditation, you might choose to start sending kindness whenever you're waiting in line at a store or whenever you're at a red light. Just look over at the car next to you and send kindness to that person.
So you're going to send the kindness. You're not going to say anything necessarily. You could, but
You don't have to. No, you could. Yeah. It's right in your head. The words don't matter. It's the feeling. You know, I wish you well. That's all you have to think in your head to send the kindness to a neutral person. They don't know you're doing it. Some people call it stealth kindness. They don't need to know you're doing it. It doesn't really have any effect on them. What it does is it opens your heart. And what I found is by doing that, I am a more approachable person because I've opened my heart. And people are more friendly to me because I'm sending kindness. So then another group that you might choose to send kindness to is people that you have difficulty with. Now often they call them difficult people, but that makes them the problem. And they're really not the problem. They're people that we have difficulty with. The real problem is how we're relating with them. And we might feel that they don't deserve our well wishes. But as Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said, if we could read the secret history of our enemies, we should find in each life sorrow and suffering to disarm all hostility. People we have difficulty with, probably because one of the two of us is suffering, or maybe both of us are suffering. And so if the least we can do is say, may you not suffer. Because if you don't suffer, you won't be such a jerk. And so you can well wish for someone who's difficult. And you're not really striving. It's not like an affirmation, I'm going to get along with them. It's, may you not suffer. Or maybe, may I understand your suffering and hold it lightly, so that I don't react to your suffering, putting us on the spiral of difficulty. So when you pick a person you're having difficulty with in a meditation, you want to make sure you start out with someone who just is a little bit annoying. You don't want to start out with someone that you have a real strong negative emotion toward, because that's going to backfire on you. That's not going to help you build your muscle. So you start easy. And that's why in the meditation today, we'll focus mainly on our benefactor, ourselves, and a loved one. And but I just wanted you to be aware of the rest of the groups. And the final group, you could send kindness out to all beings everywhere. You might start with everyone in this mindful moments group, and then expand it to be that, plus your friends and family, the city of Madison, the state of Wisconsin, the whole world. It's something that you may choose to do. To be perfectly honest, I haven't got to that point. I'm pretty much doing the first four. So while you're learning this kindness practice, it's easiest to do it as a formal meditation. Because you're practicing building that. But after you've kind of started to build your kindness muscle, you can practice it anywhere and anytime. You can use it to calm yourself and keep yourself connected to your heart. You know, when someone cuts you off in traffic, I'm sorry, you know, that was really irritating to me. I'm sorry that I have to deal with that. You can do it anytime to calm yourself and just to make sure that your actions and words are going to be kinder than they would if you had just reacted. So sending kindness gives expression to our wishes for the well-being and happiness of ourselves and of others. And you'll find that it does have a softening effect on your heart. It does open your heart. I had a person I had difficulty with at work, and I did loving kindness practice for him. And I found that as I was walking to his office, I was no longer contracting, saying, oh, I have to deal with him. I was more open. And then he was more friendly. So you will find a softening of your heart. It usually, this practice evokes feelings of love, tenderness, and warmth. But sometimes the softening of the heart can expose something that's really difficult or painfully buried emotions. And that happens, and in those cases, you probably want to distract yourself and the meditation, or just go back to your breath meditation, because that's not the time to be trying to practice loving kindness. So loving kindness is something that we really want to develop in ourselves. And we can do it through meditation, but I want to share another tip of another strategy that Sylvia Bornstein said for when difficulties arise with someone you love. She says the first step is recognizing life comes with challenges. So you could say to each other, we've wandered into a conflict zone. And then the second step is realizing that suffering is an inept response to discomfort. You said something that made me uncomfortable or sad or upset. I don't want to encourage suffering, so your next phrase might be, let's not make it worse. You know, we're in a conflict zone. Let's not make it worse. The third step is knowing that you have a clear, wise mind, that you can respond instead of react. So you might try saying, we usually love each other. We could right now reassure each other and then figure out a way to work this out together. And then the last step involves habituating the mind to a thoughtful response in place of an impulsive action. So you could say, every time we do this, we're going to get better at it. So it's a way that we can go through and really reiterate what's happening and get a new pattern for how we deal with people. So we can build our kindness muscle basically in two ways. One is doing the loving kindness meditation, and the other is doing these four steps of saying we've wandered into a conflict zone, let's not make it worse, we usually love each other, we could right now reassure each other and figure out a way to work this out, and fourth, every time we do this, we get better at it. So those are different ways that you can build your kindness muscle.